Eric, great to chat with you. Hope you and yours are safe and well. And let's start all kinds of news, obviously, with the Raptors. But the news of the day, after the smiles about Fred VanVleet committing long term, I'm sure some disappointment today that Serge Ibaka has taken his talents elsewhere.
You're right, Raj. And good to chat with you as well. Hope you're doing well. Kind of the high and low of yesterday. The news, I guess, came late last night, or I guess in the wee hours of the morning today. I can't remember if it was before or after midnight. But either way, kind of the highs and lows within less than 24 hours. The one thing I guess I would temper it a little bit, Raj, by saying the Raptors themselves all but came out almost word for word and said the priority in the offseason, the number one priority, was Fred VanVleet. So they checked that box. They got their number one priority. After that, it was bringing back one of the two bigs at the very least. But we all basically assumed and figured we knew that, with no disrespect to Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka was probably, just based on age and sort of versatility of game, those two factors alone, Serge was ahead of Gasol. And they lose out on Ibaka. And it's a big loss. When you look right now at this team, Roger, and think about the bigs or lack thereof, I mean, if you just take Pascal Siakam out of the equation for a second, because you know you've got him locked up, the only other player currently under contract is DeJuan Hernandez, the Raptors' second-round pick from last year. Chris Boucher is a restricted free agent, and, of course, Gasol and Ibaka is unrestricted. Now with Serge gone, you've got major, major gaps, major holes to fill, not just a hole, but a couple of holes to fill on this team. And even if you are able to re-sign Gasol, and based on all the rumblings that are out there, Raj, it sounds like it's down to Toronto and the Los Angeles Lakers as the two top suitors remaining. Even if you bring back Gasol, you still have to address the size or lack thereof and still go after another body in either free agency or trade to at least have another big in the mix and in the rotation. And then on top of that, still address Chris Boucher's situation. So it's certainly not great right now, but I would also say we're a little more than 48 hours into this. And I've got to imagine, Roger, and I think you would agree, that Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster had to have had this in their mind, the what-if scenario. What if Serge doesn't sign? What's our plan, not only B, but C, D, E, and F? So there's got to be something, at least in their minds, if not on paper, and something that they've got, you know, mapped out, hopefully ready to do if needed. And, well, it is needed now.
They are very different players, but does the signing of Ibaka away from Toronto increase the urgency of trying to get Marc Gasol under contract, or are those two really separate issues, Eric?
I think they're tied together, because your analysis is right, Raj. Obviously, completely different players, but probably for many of the reasons I just laid out, you still have at least a couple of holes to fill in that front court. So if you can fill one of those holes with a veteran big man, a champion, a former defensive player of the year, a former all-star, and a guy that knows your team, knows your system, knows your roster, I think that's a good thing. And as much as Marc Gasol may have looked a step slower and maybe a year older or 2 or 3 years older at times last year, and certainly in the bubble when he didn't seem to be able to kind of restart his engine after that long, you know, 3-4 month layoff during the pandemic, as much as we can all acknowledge that, I don't think that he's an absolute stiff at this point by any means. I still think he's a very serviceable player. And again, a guy that knows your system and knows your personnel. And maybe a guy that, you know, because of the fact, Raj, that he can stretch out still a little bit in terms of his shooting, but not necessarily a guy that you need to feed, not necessarily a guy that you need to lean on for his offense. Can you go out there and help space the floor, help run the offense through you at times because of, you know, your ability as a big who can pass and pass very well? You know, can you get on the glass? Can you just clog the lane with your size from time to time? And you know what? We don't need you to be a scorer all the time. We've got Kyle Lowry. We've got Pascal Siakam. We've got Fred VanVleet. We're assuming, I think, that we're looking for more offensively from OG Anunoby. And then at least for the time being, you've got that punch coming off the bench from Norm Powell, from a Matt Thomas and others. So I think this team has enough scoring. What they need is somebody to kind of be that presence on the glass, or at least that guy that can clog things up a little bit. And that's why I thought, Raj, as much as you're right again in saying they're different players, Ibaka, Gasol, I thought one of the guys that maybe the Raptors could have targeted, and maybe they did, maybe they tried to, from simply a defensive standpoint, is there somebody out there that we could get to replicate the shot blocking and the rebounding that we just lost in Serge Ibaka? That's what I'd be asking myself if I was Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster right now. And that guy in my mind, yeah, we can get that guy. Bismack Biyombo. He knows our team and he knows the system as well. Well, he signed again earlier today with Charlotte. So that's another guy that has come off the board, including Willie Cauley-Stein, and others. So there aren't a ton of bigs available left on the free agent list right now. So the Raptors are going to have to strike pretty swiftly going into the evening hours here or into tomorrow, because, again, that cupboard's getting pretty bare around the league, let alone their own cupboard that's bare at this point.
Interesting. Eric Smith with us, Raptors play-by-play voice. Roger Lajoie here at Sportsnet tonight. Glad you're along with us. Some names that are still out there for the taking. Any interest from your perspective in terms of who the Raptors would really like to help at least fill that void? Or is it a case of maybe it's going to take a trade, a little creativity and some promotion from within to fill this?
Yeah, you know, from chatting with me enough and working with me over the years, Roger, that I kind of loathe the fantasy trades and just throwing out names for the sake of throwing them. But I also will acknowledge that, I try to tend to look at this a little bit more, realistically when we think of trades. I always look at what it would take to get something back. So insert player here, Raj, whomever that player is. Let's say there's somebody the Raptors are targeting in trade right now. I think we can safely assume that you're not moving Fred VanVleet after you just signed him. You're not moving Pascal Siakam. And I don't think this team is in a position right now where they want to move OG Anunoby. And I also don't think, unless we're talking big-time trade, that you're giving up on Kyle Lowry and his, $30 million extension or whatever, and the fact that it's an expiring deal, which then gives you wiggle room in next summer's free agency and whatnot. So the reason I say that is, then what do you have to give to get something back? Again, Boucher's a restricted free agent. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, an unrestricted free agent. Who do you have? There's still a lot of uncertainty regarding Terrence Davis because of his legal issues. You have Matt Thomas. You have Norm Powell. Am I missing anybody there? Like in terms of something of true value that you could give up in return. So if the Raptors were looking to make a trade right now, Raj, I've got to assume the most likely guy would maybe be a Norm Powell. And then do you have enough confidence in the fact that you have enough offensive punch still on your bench that you don't necessarily need his offense, or you can at least get by without his offense, without his contributions, because what you're getting back in return for Norm is of equal or greater value in terms of the position, the roster spot that you're going to plug with that trade. So that's how I would analyze what the Raptors would do via trade. And again, I'm not sitting here promoting or pushing Norm Powell to be traded. I hope he's back next year. I just think he'd be the one guy perhaps at this point that if the Raptors were to make a move, may be a guy that has some value and may be a guy that is tradable, in a sense that I don't think you're trading all those other guys that I mentioned in Siakam, Lowry, VanVleet and others. In terms of free agency, Raj, three names are still out there that are bigs that I can say would be intriguing in a number of different ways. Aaron Baines may be the safest option of all of them because he can rebound. He's tough. He's pretty good in pick and roll. He started to kind of stretch things out a little bit last year and trying to show a little bit more range, but certainly not a guy that you're going to all the time for offense. But he's kind of an interesting proposition, I think, for the Raptors if they could go out and get a guy like that. I thought Tristan Thompson, again, would have been a nice fit for them. But the other two fits that I can think of, they're both gambles for different reasons. Hassan Whiteside can rebound, can block shots. He's been notoriously known for being perhaps at times a little bit of a headache or a potential headache. I think he'd be a personality that you would have to massage properly. And would your system, would your organization, would what the Raptors stand for be enough to kind of neutralize some of the potential headaches that I speak of? Perhaps. And then the other guy, and you could probably insert the same type of analysis, DeMarcus Cousins. And be a big gamble. Again, because he comes with a lot. He comes with a lot both on and off the floor. I know, though, he's very tight with Kyle Lowry. So there's a relationship there. You'd be going after a former multi-time All-Star and a guy that was a 20-10 double-double walking before he ran into a major injuries over the last two and a half seasons. And I think you get him on a 1-year deal, with a bunch of incentives perhaps laid in or whatnot, and you take a flyer on him, you take a gamble on him, and you just have to know that, okay, he hasn't played a whole lot of basketball in a couple of years, and on top of that, again, he could be coming with, the reputation of being a guy that can be a little bit ornery at times and a little bit testy, and do you have the type of culture within your team that can handle that, neutralize that, and hopefully put a stop to that and give him maybe the fresh start that he's looking for. So between Baines, Cousins, and Whiteside, those are maybe the most intriguing out there, at least in terms of big bodies.
Interesting. That's great analysis, Eric. And your point about the trading is bang on. That's why when fans talk about trading, they only want to trade players off their team that nobody wants.
Right.
It's difficult. It's easy to say you want this guy in a deal, but nobody wants the players that you're trying to trade either. So we'll see how it shakes out. Is this a fair comment, just observation to make? The fact that Fred VanVleet is now under contract for 3 years and a player option in year four, that he is taking less money in year two than he is in one, obviously doing the Raptors a favor for the summer, considering the position that Fred plays, that this is going to be Kyle Lowry's last season as a Raptor?
I think so, Raj, but at the same time, it was interesting. I was having a conversation with somebody earlier today, and this is one of those, you know, ifs and buts and you know, what-if scenarios. If you go back to last year when the Raptors gave Lowry that one-year extension and locked him into this year, I wonder what it would look like right now. And again, it's all fodder, Raj, obviously. But what might it have looked like if Kyle Lowry was a free agent right now as well? Would you have had more wiggle room financially to bring back Serge Ibaka and then right now be having to make the decision on, do we bring back Kyle Lowry? Or are we saying, Kyle, you've been incredible. You're the best player in franchise history. You know, please, you know, you have our blessing to move on somewhere else. Or Kyle Lowry at his age, as good as he still is, would he have cost you less right now in free agency than what it cost you last year when you offered him the extension? That's just kind of an interesting question that somebody threw at me earlier today, and I started thinking about that. And like, yeah, that is interesting, just the timing of how deals went down. If you didn't have Lowry's $30 million on the books, how much of some of that could have maybe gone to Serge, and how much of that would have been left for a Kyle to ultimately re-sign or perhaps move on somewhere else. And again, it's an ifs and buts, and it's just a Monday morning quarterback type scenario. But to more directly answer your question, Raj, I feel like Kyle Lowry's earned the right to kind of let the Raptors know and the organization know sort of what he wants. And that's not to say that you're going to be bound by whatever he says. Oh, he wants to come back. Well, sure. And only at the number that he says as well. No, there has to be some give and take. There has to be some negotiation there. And there has to be some, I think some hard conversations with Kyle a year from now, even if he puts up all-star numbers again, just in terms of age, productivity, future, flexibility with the team, with the roster, with the payroll, et cetera. We'd love to have you back, but it has to be at the right cost, at the right number. So I would say more signs are pointing to this potentially being the swan song, especially not only Fred VanVleet, Raj, but the drafting of Malachi Flynn and kind of grooming him perhaps to be the backup, if not the starter one day, well down the road after VanVleet. Certainly there are signs there, but I just don't know if it's a foregone conclusion that Kyle's gone. But, you know, this is going to be an interesting season, let alone off season, because not only do you have the Lowry situation over your head, we still have not yet heard about an extension for Bobby Webster, nor an extension for Masai Ujiri. Now the team's playing down in Tampa. Now they're going to have wiggle room and financial flexibility because of Fred's contract, as you mentioned, to maybe be a player for Giannis or anybody else. But how much do those decisions, you know, how much are they impacted by what's happening with Webster, what's happening with Ujiri, what's happening with Lowry? How well does this team perform this year without Ibaka, maybe without a Gasol, with the sort of big three of Lowry, VanVleet, Siakam, or VanVleet, Siakam, and OG. A lot of stuff swirling around. It's still a good team, but it's a team that I think still has a lot to address in the coming weeks, let alone in the months ahead through the season.
Will be fascinating to see. And before we let you go, Eric, speaking of the fact that the Raptors are playing in Tampa, it's not a surprise. The government rejected their bid to play at Scotiabank Arena. I mean, the city's going into a lockdown tomorrow. For 28 days, it looked pretty bad if you announced that the Raptors are going to be playing at Scotiabank Arena in the middle of a lockdown. So totally understood and got it. And the Raptors, I full credit to them. You know, they had the bubble plus extra problems last year and had to go to Florida earlier and were terrific. It did not affect their play. It wasn't a reason they lost in seven games to Boston. They really handled it well, as did the Blue Jays under similar circumstances. But Eric, as we all know, a lot of people are getting COVID fatigue here, just having to deal with it for this long. Now this team has to deal with it again. And I'm not doing the woe is me, because I agree with the decision, number one. And number two, these athletes will find a way. I have great confidence they will. But I'm asking you, for having to do this a second time, is this going to be even tougher for this team to just get its head around the fact that once again, they will not have a home arena, and at least for who knows how long?
Yeah, I think it is a lot to ask of this team and these players, and I think it's a different situation than this past season as well. And Raj, I don't have a clock in front of me, but I'm guessing we're up against it, because you and I could go on an hour about this. I don't know that I do agree with the decision that was made by the government. I understand why they did, but I didn't necessarily love it with the Jays, and I don't love it now just based on the fact that this team and this league will be going through daily testing before games, after games, before they get on planes, after they get off of planes and whatnot. To me, they still would be among the safest people in North America going around. I don't think anybody in Toronto or in the GTA was going to be getting sick from Kyle Lowry or from Jason Tatum and the Boston Celtics coming to town, nor for that matter the Rays or the Yankees or anybody else coming to Toronto. But I digress. It is what it is. I do understand why it was made. I'm not going to sit here and fight it and poo-poo it too much. I just think that it was a little bit short-sighted, and it impacts a lot of people in terms of their jobs and their finances as well, because all the people that work at arenas and everything else. But to ask these guys, Raj, to have 3 or 4 months off during the pandemic and then have a restart in a bubble with everybody else. Everybody else is in the same equal footing. You're going into the bubble. You're away from your families. It may only be for 4 to 6 weeks if you're bounced early from the bubble or knocked out in the first round. It could end up being 3 months if you make it to the finals. But everybody's in the same boat. And this is the way that we have to do it. You all have been living through this pandemic. Guys, we have to come together and do this. Well, now it's a different situation. Now you're saying, fellas, we need you to report the first week of December, the first day of December, go through a regular 2-3 week training camp like you would any other year, start a season before Christmas, and oh yeah, by the way, you need to relocate yourself at the very least, if not your entire families, to Tampa, Florida, because that's where you're living. And oh yeah, by the way, you still have to travel for all the other games too. So there's still going to be the full travel, but when you go home, you're not actually going home. Kyle, you're not going home to Philadelphia where you actually live, or going to Toronto where you have your other home. You're now going to Tampa. Is Kyle Lowry's wife going to be with him? His two children? Or are they going to be up in school in Philly? What about, you know, Fred VanVleet and his two young children? Are, you know, him and his partner, are they going to be down, you know, in Tampa together, or are they going to be in Rockford, Illinois? It's a major, major undertaking, I think, for these players, Raj, to be away from, especially those that have children, but let alone those that have significant others and spouses and whatnot. I think it's a major, major, inconvenience and certainly it's a lot of pressure and a lot of baggage just for the Raptors as a team to deal with this year. And it's something that none of the other 29 teams have to deal with. So I think this is a far different situation than the bubble. And I do hear what you're saying, woe is me, but I think there's a reason to kind of, give them a little bit of sympathy right now for what they're ultimately going to be going through and the heartaches. Potential heartaches that could be coming with it.
Well, they have my sympathy, Eric, and I do agree in terms from the business standpoint, because I am more, I use myself as an example. I've been coming here doing shows since May, and nobody else is here doing shows because I elect to come. I am more open to continuing business. But the reason I say the optics of the Raptors, and I get it, they spend the money on testing and it would be a safe thing for them. But I know people who are running very responsible businesses have spent a fortune keeping their businesses safe, keeping their staff safe. They have not had one person in their establishment have COVID, and now they have to lock down.
Yeah.
So, that's where the thing is. Look, if we're all doing it or we're not, and to make a decision as safe as it would be for the Raptors is cherry picking for me. And to say, well, think about the jobs is like there are people screaming listening to me say that right now.
No,
who have had their
right.
job
yeah.
gone for 9 months. So that's where I hear you, but it's just can't do it if you're the government in my mind. And the reason it's only the Raptors is, well, this is the only team based in Canada. And you talk about needing an hour to talk about that. We'll need 10 hours to talk about that. So let's leave that alone for the moment.
No, and your point is well made, Raj. And listen, before I get too much grief, too, I acknowledge all that. I appreciate all that. And I understand all that as well. I think that's probably just speaks to what you said earlier about the COVID fatigue that all of us are having. Because, Raj, I acknowledge that whether it's on the air when I'm doing the radio show during the week or conversations with you right now or talking to my wife or buddies off the air, whatever it may be, I fully acknowledge that on an hour-to-hour basis and certainly a day-to-day basis, I can be guilty of maybe talking out of both sides of my mouth because I just, not only am I tired of it all, but I think I'm also confused by a lot of it. On one hand, I even sent a tweet out the other day. I think you would probably agree, or many people would agree. The government right now is saying, please stay home, only go out for emergency things or only go for essential things like groceries or if you have to go to the doctor. But by the way, if you do go out, everything's open. Now, okay, that's changed for the GTA a little bit right now with the lockdown that's coming as of tomorrow. But then what's your message to businesses? We're allowing you to stay open. Please be as safe as you can. But just so you let you know, we told everybody to stay home and don't actually come out and go anywhere. Anything.
And what's the message to the poor saps that have to work in the business, though, Eric? Exactly. That's my point.
Yeah.
Is like,
yeah,
that's my point. Is like,
I hear you. And what do we do about the fact that, like, you know, we're not letting in, you know, Major League Baseball, we're not letting in the NBA, but we're going to say that it's okay for players to come from the United States, from Europe, from all over the world to play in this Canadian division that's going to happen in the National Hockey League? Is that just because they're staying in Canada, they're going to do their 14-day quarantine, or the fact that there are millions of people still coming across the border, you know, in terms of whether it be truck drivers, essential services folks? I know people even in broadcasting, Raj, that have come across from the U.S. to work here in Canada to go back to the States and whatnot. So as much as everybody's saying, oh, borders closed, borders closed, borders closed, well, it is, but there are a lot of exemptions and exceptions out there. So, again, as we both now said a few times, it's an hour-long topic. There seems like there's no right or wrong answer, and we're probably all just tired of this, and now we got a snowstorm to deal with, too. So.
All right, well, here's good news. We're going to watch the NBA starting on December the 22nd, regardless where the Raptors are playing, and thank heavens for that. Eric Smith is the play-by-play voice of the Raptors on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, host of Smith and Jones. Check it out weekdays 1 to 2. Excellent one-hour midday radio right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Eric, always great to chat. Stay safe and well, my friend.
You as well, Rod. All the best to you and your family.